Well, we are coachless again. He had some stuff come up, so I guess I will start the show off again with another Southwest Northeastern. All right. It's a dash of DFS. I got my man Joe with me. How are we doing this evening, man?
Ready to rock, but I feel like we had some good Thursday night luck, as we like to say on this show. We rode the wave of some really strong Thursday night games, and now we've got Denver and Cleveland with one backup quarterback and no running backs staring us in the face this Thursday.
Oh, I know. Cleveland is so decimated after last week, man. It's gonna be tough. But when you're looking to set your lineup, you had to scroll down like two pages before you could start getting people you could put in there. It's pretty rough. We can just say that for sure. But I feel like that's good for the Broncos. You know, that makes me happy for the Broncos. Hopefully, they can at least give them a good run for their money. Although I can see Broncos still losing. Their defense is still out there and still strong. You can always find us on Twitter, guys, at Toilets to Titles. All this fun stuff at the beginning. You go to toiletstotitles.com, where we have new and breaking articles all the time. Some of the best writers in the industry are over there getting ready to get you guys set up for your week. Make sure you go to the patreon.com, Toilets to Titles. If you hop on there, guys, $3 a month, it gets you into the Discord, which is one of the funnest chats you'll ever be a part of. Tier two is $5 a month. You can get early access to the waiver wire episodes. You get entry into the Frankensteak Listener League, which is a really, really fun, but yeah, very tragically devastating league. It is a hard league to be a part of and have good energy all the time, because people steal your players every week. If they beat you, they can just steal like Josh Allen from you, like it almost happened to me last week. Tier three gets you $10 a month. That's one-on-one roster analysis and a free entry into the Frankenstank, the T2T grant group chat, which I'm telling you, that's worth the money alone right there. Like, the group chat is way fun. Okay, all the shenanigans, all the stuff. We got Jeff saying, can we skip this week, Denver versus Cleveland, and go to week 8, Green Bay versus Arizona? Man, that's going to be a game right there. That's going to be a real football game. Now, that's where we're talking. And I am the number one Denver fan, and I'm not even excited about tonight. I'm like, ugh, this is going to be an ugly, ugly mess tonight. So I'm with you, man. Let's skip tonight. Let's just go on to the next one. The very first thing we're going to go ahead and go is, who's the guys that you're plugging in there Thursday, Joe?
Well, I'll tell you what, the last 5 minutes before we went on in the air tonight, I scrambled to make, it was a Thursday only, but I scrambled to make another lineup and put the Bronco defense in that championship spot. So I would say, you know, for the whole week, I'm going to pick on Case Keenum, backup quarterback. Broncos defense has been strong anyway, and it's not just the fact that it's Keenum. No Chubb, no Hunt. I know they get Beckham and Landry back, but they are decimated. Broncos have a strong defense. I don't expect that to change too much tonight. So I would ride with the Denver defense. And then I do always think you got to look at Sutton and you got to look at Fant. They're putting together some really consistent numbers at those positions, tight end and wide receiver, you know, for the whole year. So I think you want to look at those two tonight too. I'm kind of erring on the side of Denver. I mean, you got the running back there for Johnson for Cleveland. That's probably worth a flyer, but I'm not feeling too confident anything else fantasy relevance tonight.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just, they can't seem to decide on which guy they're going to hand the ball to when. And until they get that figured out, I'm really not wanting to put those guys in too many of my lineups, unfortunately. Although I do usually love me some Cleveland running back action. But Dearness Johnson is the guy to put in there if you have to put somebody in. But for daily, I would definitely recommend straying that, and I would go with mostly all Broncos. At least that's what I'm doing this evening. So the first segment we got, guys, is the You Shall Not Pass. So Gandalf says no, so you should also say no, is what we're saying right here. This week was actually pretty difficult again. There's a lot of great quarterback matchups that I just love. There was a ton of value to be had, even at the lower rungs. But the one game that really stood out to me was the game Mac Jones versus Zach Wilson. It's New York versus New England. And for 68 and 6,400, I'm going to pass on both of those guys. I think that's going to be a snooze fest. I think the running backs are the guys to own. In fact, when I talk about my lineup, you'll see I've got Ramondre Stevenson in my line because he's cheap and he ought to get a lot of usage this weekend. I feel like this game could easily end 10-7, 7-3, somewhere in there. It's going to all go down to game management. And so that is my fade of the week. And so Coach, who isn't with us, he was nice enough to leave us his notes. And he said the non-quarterback fades of the week are Travis Kelce, which at Tennessee, he said, this is the highest tight end cost of the week. He said, Tennessee is where tight ends have gone to die this season. He knows that Kelce is a different breed than most other guys, but other cats, he says. But this Titans defense has faced, I think they're ready for him. And I kind of tend to agree with that. I think that Travis Kelce might be a guy worth hitting the brakes, although I don't know, man. I can't sit Travis Kelce.
Yeah, you would never sit him in a league as far as playing him daily-wise. Like, I mean, Andrews is playing really well. He's a little cheaper. I get it. Like, the Chiefs aren't quite the same fantasy lock all around that they were last year. It's been a little weird, but proof from that Monday night Tennessee-Buffalo game, the one thing I will say that makes me disagree there a little bit is that's going to be a high-scoring game because Tennessee's not playing much defense. The Chiefs don't play much defense. So there are going to be points to be had.
And he loves looking down Kelce in the red zone. So I'm with you there. Khalil Herbert at Tampa Bay, he said, for 5,200, he said, two things are making him fade Herbert this week. He said, one, Damian Williams was out last week with COVID. He may return this week. And number two, he is facing the best run defense by far in the NFL. Those two reasons are enough. And I agree with that as well. I think Herbert was a little bit of a flash in the pan. I think a lot of guys spent a lot of fab on him. And hopefully we're wrong. And hopefully he goes out there and tears it up. Guys that we're going to be paying up for this week, we got for Coach, he's going to be paying up for DJ Moore at New York on DraftKings for 7,100. Says last week it was Cup versus New York, and this week it's DJ Moore. The points are right for the taking. The Giants just darn, it's almost like playing practice squad against that defense right now. So get that wide receiver one out there. He said it'll be at least 8 more weeks before they get completely put out of their misery. Derrick Henry versus Kansas City, 9,200. Said he's just absolutely on fire since week two. Here is DraftKings points totals. 50, 22, 28, 34, 38. Dude, he's just been balling out. He said this could go riding into the waves section, but with a cost of 9,200, this is a clearly pay up, son.
You know what was making me laugh the other night about Derrick Henry real quick? He's a monster. He's by far the best player on that team and everything, but it still cracks me up. They take him out on third down passing situations. Like, at what point do you figure out that he's your best player? He should not be out of the game on a crucial third down. Like, I'm all for the pass catching running back and stuff who comes in for the passing situations. But Derrick Henry should only be taken off the field when he gives a little wave and says he needs a breather.
Right. Yep. He should be out there even almost on defense just to give you better chances. Cause man, that guy is a beast. I read somewhere. They're like, if Derrick Henry's coming at you, how many times could you tackle him out of 100? And man, I just, oof,
zero.
I don't even know if I can get one. Yeah, 0.0, exactly. Guys, I'm paying up for this week is the Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams stack at 7,900 and 9,000 on FanDuel. I am definitely paying up for him. But they're playing the Washington team football. I just can't stop playing against him, Joe. I just keep on putting the quarterback and the main receiver against him, and I just keep cashing out week after week. Although last week I was the first time I didn't give you the number one quarterback or number one, two, three quarterback, which we had gotten right all the first 5 weeks. So that was kind of cool. But, yep, this week I think it's going to be another Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams fest. And then I also have DJ Moore on my list because, yep, against the Giants, give it to me. So give it. Yeah. He's like 103 next year. He's good. He's able to create separation in any situation. And this one, he's going to be huge.
Yeah, it's kind of like I'll steal our own segment. It's kind of like riding the wave, right? Whether it's the Rodgers-Adams stack that you can continually ride, or let's ride the wave of the Giants misery and the Houston Texan misery and just keep on playing the guys that are going up with them from a matchups perspective each week. But for my paying up, Derrick Henry's on that list. Lamar Jackson. I you know, that 1 p.m. slate's a little tricky, that main slate this week from with buys and injuries and stuff. So Lamar Jackson, 8,400, home against Cincy's feeling like a lock. And then Cooper Kupp, and then for the obvious reason, the one guy I wanted to highlight here real quick, DeAndre Hopkins is 8,000 on FanDuel, home against Houston. And it's just the tailor-made, stereotypical revenge game. He's going to look at Houston across the field and be like, you guys are effing morons. That trade was horrible, and here's what I'm going to give you for it. So I expect definitely a touchdown, couple of long receptions for DeAndre this week.
Yeah, remember me? Yeah. Exactly. Although yeah. I feel like that would be way more effective if Bill O'Brien was still the coach there, so we could really rub it in some faces right there. Jeff asks, is Dearness Johnson worth a last-minute start?
I mean, certainly single game. You know, for the whole week, for his price, and I'm sitting there looking at running backs this week, and I'm just getting tired. I'm getting tired of figuring out what Miles Gaskin's going to freaking do. I'm getting tired. You know, we talked about the Denver running game. You want to talk about splitting carries? Gordon and Williams, and they're both double-digit touches a game for those two, but those two guys are splitting them, like, exactly down the middle, and I'm sick of dealing with that, too. So with Dearness Johnson tonight, the one thing you pretty much know you will get from him is touches. What he's going to do with them, I don't know, but at this point, I'm almost willing to take those touches because they seem to be hard to come by when you're getting into those lower tiers of guys to choose from.
Absolutely. Yep. And I mean, I don't even mind him in a league setting, and just like playing against Denver does kind of scare me, but you know, we're to the time where it's thin. Steve says, hey, he's glad to see us. He's been on a roll the last couple of weeks. Uncle Steve, we love to hear that. And he thanks us for the information. And then Jeff also asks, he's not usually a New England fantasy fan, but is Damian Harris a legit start at home versus the Jets for $6,800 on FanDuel? And for me, yes, but no. I feel like my guy for this one is Ramondre Stevenson. I think he's the guy to have in that New England backfield. I think they're utilizing him more, especially in the red zone. So for me, and I believe he's about $1,100 cheaper. I'm not sure because he is definitely in
exactly.
my lineup.
Exactly, you got it right, I think.
Yeah, I think he's because he's sitting in my lineup this week. So, yeah, $5,600. So I'd take the discount and open up maybe something in a better receiver up the line, or maybe a better tight end or something to that effect, because they're playing the Jets. Like Uncle Steve says, he's playing the Jets. He says yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I like Harry. I like them both. I Harris, $6,800 if you want your true number two running back, but I see what you're doing there. You know, you're probably Stevenson's probably your lowest salary guy of the week there, pretty much for the main positions. And I do agree. I mean, if they're up 24-3 at the beginning of the fourth quarter, Stevenson's is going to get a lot of fourth quarter touches, and Harris probably will too.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. I see a pretty decent split, but I see a lot of running in that game. For sure. So now we're going to go ahead and get to one of Coach's favorite segments, Riding the Wave. Guys that we are really, really set on, you know, like these guys have just been getting it done week to week. So the first guy on the list is Mark Andrews. He's versus Cincinnati at $6,100. The Ravens offense, and more specifically, Mark Andrews finally producing like we expected them to. And I'm loving it too. Leonard Fournette versus Chicago at $6,400. He says he has yet to put Leonard Fournette in that lineup of his, but this week he's going to change that. He says outside of Derrick Henry and Jonathan Taylor, there's no other running back producing like this cat as of late. And Leonard Fournette has proven he is the one on that team. Ronald Jones just doesn't have a candle to the guy. And so for sure, get him going. And Joe, you actually said you have an additional one on there, right? A ride the wave kind of a guy.
I do. I have a couple, you know, and I will say back to Coach and the Kelsey sit. The best argument for me to sit Kelsey this week is taking the $1,500 discount for Andrews, because Andrews has been really hot for Baltimore lately. So I like that play at $6,100. I'm looking at Jaylen Waddle. He went for 10 for 70, but two touchdowns last week for Miami against Jacksonville out there in London. He had 13 targets. So he's become the security blanket there along with Gesicki for Tua. And then the other one that I was looking at, and really Daryl Henderson, that Ram offense has just been phenomenal all season long. Robert Woods is starting to click now. So from a fantasy perspective, they're all doing what you wanted them to do. Stafford and Kupp. And now Woods, and now you got Henderson. Henderson's been double digits every week. 23 points last week, 26th ranked Detroit rushing defense this week. That you know, 38-11 at the Giants last week for the Rams. Home against Detroit, I don't even understand. It's going to be bad.
Absolutely. Yep. I like Daryl Henderson a lot. Like, it's kind of weird. I wasn't really into him at the beginning of the season, but man, he's proven a case for himself. And Cam Akers, who is what he keeps saying out there. We got the bounce back players of the week right here. For me, it's DJ Moore. Now, this guy hasn't gone over double digits 2 weeks in a row. And now he's playing that soft defense in New York. This is almost just a gimme slam dunk for me. I said, DJ Moore is going to have himself one hell of a week. For the coach, it's Calvin Ridley. He's playing at Miami at 6,600. He said Ridley hasn't played a snap since week four. It was announced Monday that Calvin Ridley is back this week on Sunday. He'll be back in a big way. The Miami defense is not it. They are ranked 30th against the pass. So he said Kyle Pitts should also be taking a lot of attention away from Calvin. Calvin will eat. Who you got, Joe?
Makes sense. And, you know, it's funny, like, for myself, I've always been so anti-Raiders from a fantasy perspective over the last few years because they've just haven't, you know, they haven't been consistent. But it's such a different ballgame with them this year. And, you know, to that point, I'm looking at Darren Waller this week. The funny part about it is he went 5 for 59 last week, which is not a bad day for a tight end fantasy-wise. But the guy's been so phenomenal all, you know, his whole career there, really. He went 5 for 5 on receptions with the targets last week. I expect him to get into the end zone home against Philly. So, you know, whether it's Ruggs, Renfro, Waller, Carr's been really, really solid, consistent. They proved last week that despite the disaster that the organization is right now, what Gruden did to them, they were able to play through that last week and get the win. So I expect home against Philly this week. I expect that to have a lot of points, and that Oakland team's going to hit the end zone, and Waller should be a big part of that.
Yeah, I really like that call right there because I think Waller should have himself a week. I actually have him in quite a few situations, you know, and so it's been kind of bummed out that he hasn't been getting it done in the end zone or anything. But like you said, 5 for 59 out of the tight end in the PPR, that's 11 points just about. That's pretty good. You know, that's pretty damn good for your tight end numbers. Why don't you give us your diamonds in the rough? These are the low ownership plays out there that that you don't think that a whole lot of people are going to be hopping on.
Yeah, you know, figuring out what those percentages are in 2021, it's so different than even a couple years ago because of the injuries and the buys and all of these other things. So I don't know what the ownership number will be here, but when I'm looking at my flex or trying to get that third wide out a little cheaper, I'm all about Henry Ruggs this week. He's 5,700 on FanDuel for the Raiders. Again, I'm not going to repeat myself, but it's home against Philly. It's a juice matchup. And the great thing about Ruggs is he's got like that DeSean Jackson fantasy X factor where like you can get the 60-yarder from Ruggs in the first quarter and just kind of be able to kick your feet up for the rest of the day saying, right, I just got my 15 points from my $5,700 flex player 5 minutes into the game. He's got that big play potential. So I like Ruggs. If somebody told me they'd rather go Renfro, I wouldn't argue with them there either with the matchup. I like Ruggs a little more just because he's got a little more big play potential.
Absolutely agree with that. And coach had Ross Dwelly versus Indianapolis. The Colts have led up the 6 most fantasy points to tight ends with Kittle out and Jimmy GQ back. He's feeling like it's a Ross Dwelly week. Again, I can't argue with that, man. Ross Dwelly ought to have himself a time over there. Jeff says Cordarrelle Patterson's on a tear coming off a bye, getting that FanDuel acknowledgement at 8,000. I noticed that today too. I kind of wanted to get myself a piece of that Cordarrelle Patterson, but I just can't seem to pull the trigger on him, man. I think that he's going to flop this week because he seems like he's prone to do this. I mean, I guess he's really never been prone to be good in the first place. I mean, he's always been decent, right? But he's never been this guy that he's being this year. And I have a feeling we're going to have a comeback to earth. What do you think about good old Cordarrelle Patterson?
You know, even if he has a good game, I don't think for 8,000, and I'm looking at it now. I mean, 500 more, you can put Aaron Jones in your lineup home against Washington. You know, Daryl Henderson is 8,000. That's home against Detroit. And then, I mean, Joe Mixon, one more example. Joe Mixon, 7,200, $800 less. All three of those guys are going to touch the ball more than Patterson and historically should have a better game. So I don't think Patterson is a good play at that salary. I'd either figure out how to manipulate your lineup to go up to Aaron Jones, stick at the same salary with Henderson, or save yourself $800 and go with Mixon from a FanDuel perspective.
It's funny because that's exactly how I set my FanDuel lineup this week. Is I saved myself $800 on Cordarrelle and I bought myself some Joe Mixon. He also asked this, does Zach Ertz do anything in his first week in Arizona? I think he does. I think he does, but I think it's going to be like kind of a low target share, like maybe 5 targets, 3 catches, maybe 35 yards, maybe puts the biscuit in the basket, but I'd still put him at a less than 10 potential. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, he's 5,300. I do think he's an okay play this week. I'm more excited for him long term. My concern with them this week is their home against Houston. So if Hopkins takes his revenge in the first half, Murray runs around a little more, you're at freaking 28-3 in the third quarter. Ertz ain't getting any more targets in that situation. So I don't know how much I love him this week, but I do think going forward, I think he's going to play. I think he's going to play like a low end number one tight end the rest of the year if he stays healthy. If Max Williams was getting the targets and the catches there before he got hurt, there's no reason to think that Ertz won't.
Well, and Ertz is such a tank, and I think everybody forgot how good Zach Ertz really was, and I think we're going to remember here relatively soon as far as his talent level goes, because that guy, I mean, everybody was kind of bummed out in Philly. That Philly organization just kind of got dragged down. I mean, look at Carson Wentz playing with some renewed energy. It's taken these guys a while to get over that Philly shell shock that they're coming out of because, man, it was really hard to be a part of that offense when you only have like half a second to make a decision and things. And now that Philly, I mean, they've obviously taken care of a lot of those issues. Now Philly's not as bad as they were. But for a couple of years there, they were really, really bad. This is the lineup we're playing now, guys. This is the ones that we got. The one I'm rolling out there, you heard me talking about Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams. So they're in my stack at 7,900 and 9,000. I told you I'm going to be starting Joe Mixon for $7,200, Ramondre Stevenson for $5,600. I feel like Christian Kirk has himself a week versus Houston, $6,200 right there. DJ Moore at New York Giants, Nuff said at $7,700. Mike Gesicki at Atlanta for $6,000 and Darnell Mooney at Tampa Bay for $5,900 because I feel like he's been getting a lot of those looks that everybody keeps thinking that Allen Robinson's going to be getting. I don't really know what's going on there with Allen Robinson, but I got to back out and I've got to look at me some Darnell Mooney. And then Bucks against Chicago. I think they ought to pretty well shut him down. I think there's going to be enough points to go around for Chicago for me to still play Mooney, but I'm still also playing the Bucks. Coach's DraftKings lineup, he's got Tannehill versus Kansas City at 6,400, Henderson versus Detroit at 66, Damian Harris versus New York at 57, DJ Moore at New York Giants. Again, I mean, you're going to probably see that in almost a lot of lineups. He'll probably have a pretty high ownership, but I'm still not going to fade him because I want those points. I think he's going to have a boatload. Calvin Ridley at Miami at 66, AJ Brown versus KC at 63,000. I don't think that's right. No, I'm just kidding, Coach. CJ Uzuma at Baltimore for 3,000. And then he's got the Callaway versus at Seattle, 5,200. Then Browns defense versus Denver tonight for 3,000. Joe, who you rocking out there?
Yeah, and I will say it's funny. I feel like we've had some weeks where our lineups have been way different, and then we've had a couple of weeks, and this is another one where we have a lot of overlap this week. Right. So it's always interesting to me to think about that on a Sunday, you know, to see if we were all in common and did it right, or if we were all missing the boat on a given week. But Lamar Jackson, 8,400, home against Cincinnati. We talked about it. Damian Harris, 6,800. That Patriot running game should be all over the Jets this week. Fournette, Tampa, home against Chicago, 7,000, all the reasons we've talked about there. Hopkins, the revenge game, 8,000, home against Houston. Waddle, ride the wave. You know, I feel like at least I've been consistent as I'm reading this off. I'm consistent with the other segments that we did. Cooper Kupp, 8,800 for the Rams, home against Detroit. I expect them to have 20-plus fantasy points in the first half, probably, of that game. I do have Ertz in this lineup, to Jeff's point earlier, 5,300, home against Houston. If he gives me your stat line, 3 for 35, but one of them gets him in the end zone, I'm happy with that 11 points.
That's a good day. That's a really good tight end day.
Henry Ruggs, 5,700, home against Philly in my flex. Hit that home run early on. And then going the Packer defense, home against Washington. I'm just picking on Washington at this point. I think the Packers have some good energy and momentum. That's in Lambeau. So I don't expect Washington to do too much there.
Right, right. Yep, nope, but I'm 100% with you. I think that's a really good pick right there. Packers, it's just fun to pick on Washington. It's fun to pick on New York. Dallas is about the only one in that division that it isn't fun to pick on, except Philly isn't fun to pick on. They're just gritty, man. Those guys are tough. They like to play football, down and dirty football. I don't think they're very good. I don't think they're very talented, but I think that they have that heart and that attitude to get there and make you lose. You know, I mean, you've got to get there and you actually have to beat Philly this year, which is, again, a little bit different from the trend that they've been riding. So that's going to do it for us. Oh, hold on. Jeff says, going off your comments about Patterson, for 700 more, you can grab Kyler Murray. Oh,
there we go.
Yeah, give me Kyler Murray over Cordarrelle Patterson. Again, I mean, I think Cordarrelle Patterson's doing great. I just don't foresee that continuing. I mean, it just isn't in the cards for the guy. He's got to slow down at some point. And I've got enough shares of him in my regular fantasy that I hope I'm wrong. So,
well, let me ask you one more real quick. We got a minute on the subject of Cordell. Miles Gaskin, son of a bitch. I was high on Gaskin going into the season from a league perspective. He was really good last year for Miami, and he caught a lot of passes and got a lot of targets. But you take away that Tampa game this year, he hasn't even played as well as a backup running back, never mind a starter. But now you're sitting there, he's home against Atlanta, and not from too much from a DFS perspective. You can just go over him. You don't have to make a decision to play him. But when you're looking at him and having him in leagues, what the hell do you do with Gaskin at this point?
You know, it's funny because at the beginning of the season, I had my draft or my dynasty rankings, right? And it was number one is Josh Allen. Number two was everybody else. And number three was Miles Gaskin. And that's because I just can't, like, I've never been a fan of his leg work or anything like that. He should be good. They have a decent offensive line, I feel like, in Miami that doesn't get the credit that they get due. And he still can't seem to make it work. I just don't think he's ready for that talent at the NFL level. And I don't think he's ever going to get there, unfortunately. Like you said, last year, there was a time period of about the last 3 or 4 weeks where he was proving me wrong. But I feel like that was all volume and opportunity, right? That's why we play a lot of running backs in the cold, because they get that volume and opportunity over, you know, most of the receivers and things like that. But I think I think he's a guy that if you give him 20 touches, I think he could give you a good solid average of 2 to 2.4 yards. So, I mean, with that 20 touches, he's going to give you 40 yards. And unless he hits the end zone, man, he's going to look abysmal on your running back line. Yeah. So I'm just not a real big fan of Miles Gaskin. I like I said, I mean, the guy's talented, obviously. I mean, he's one of the 32 best people in the world in this position. Just doesn't seem like he can get it done at the NFL level. And I just haven't seen him been able to break it loose with his legs. And I think we're seeing that a lot more this year, except of course against the best rush defense in the league in Tampa Bay. So that just goes to show you every dog has his day. But I mean, I think that those days for him, unfortunately, are over. I think that's the one piece that Miami's missing to be actually competitive as a good running back.
Well, you saw the rumors this week, right? Watson, and they're talking to Houston, and sounds like they might have a deal in place before that November 2nd trade deadline.
Yep, with Washington involved, I was reading so they would be getting Tua. They would be Houston would give the picks, and then Watson to Miami. It's hard to say what's going to happen there with all that, man, with the lawsuits and everything. I don't know why anybody would even want to try to grab a piece of Watson unless they're 100% sure that that is not a thing. So. Steve says, good show. Let's go get that money, Uncle Steve. I agree. We're going to go ahead and close this out. Make sure you guys get on that patreon.com/toasttotitles. Go join us. I'm telling you, it'll be the best $3, $5, probably $10. You're probably going to want to spend $10. Put us all in your pocket at all times, because we'll help you win at all times. Even if it's like 2 o'clock in the morning, we got guys in Australia just waiting for you to ask them questions, like Campy. Campy doesn't sleep very much. And so when he's sitting there, and you're wide awake, 3 o'clock in the morning, going out and can't even hardly see anything, but you're like, man, who do I start? Campy is just going to unload on you. He's going to be like, oh, here's who you got. Here's who you got. Toasttotitles.com. Go get those articles. Guys, I'm telling you, you're going to want to read this stuff. These guys are the best in the industry. Eric is amazing, man. He writes some really good articles. And then just follow us at Toast the Titles on the old Twitter. And Joe, where can they find you at, buddy?
Two Ticks, Two Fantasy.
Two Ticks, Two Fantasy. So, guys, that's going to wrap it up for us tonight. Joe, thank you as always, man. You always have time. hanging out with you and doing the football talking and all the DFS. And I definitely enjoy talking with you on Sundays too as well. Let's tear it up. Let's get that money, guys.